Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, church, for singing. There we go. Well, it's a joy to be with you this morning. I'm sorry I'm not bringing my full voice. Somebody came into my office this week and donated something to me that I did not ask for. That just happens. And the way usually things work through my body is... The first few days, I feel terrible, but I sound good. Nobody feels sorry for me. And then when I feel good, I sound terrible. And everybody says, oh, we're so sorry that you feel so bad. Actually, I feel very good, but my voice isn't all there. But I'm sure by the end, you'll be able to make it all out. So thank you for your patience with that this morning. But here we are in the Advent season, and It's always a very pleasant, wonderful time of year for families and churches to think about all the things that can go on and the festivities that we have here, even in town, the Kerstmark a few weeks ago. I mean, how nice is it to live in Pella? I mean, it's like the living Hallmark Channel right here. Every year, I just can't get over it. I lived in California for many years, and I just loved walking out on the Seal Beach Pier in December and thinking about all my cold friends in Iowa and the Midwest. But here it's just a joy to watch the horses go around the square and see the people in the square and enjoying all the festivities that happen here in town. But Advent, most of all, is about what we see in these candles. Hope and peace and love and joy. And no matter what's going on in town, they typically don't offer any of that. And no matter what sort of concerts you can go to, typically those things aren't going to be able to offer those things. And so the true message of Christmas comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we've got to keep that front and center during this entire season, because the world is in such desperate need of what the gospel has to offer. And we know that at the time that Jesus was born, that there was also conditions going on in the world that weren't so good, as we see that happening now. I mean, there had been a long time when we look at the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, about 400 years. There were people, some people, that were longing for a Messiah that they thought that would come in and make all things right, that this evil regime called the Roman Empire would somehow be put down, and that Messiah would reign, and Israel would be restored to its position that it was at its height. But that's not what was to happen. But they were waiting for a long time, and now here we are, all these years later. We look back, and we celebrate that Christ was born. But folks, we're here mainly to look forward to a second advent. Christ is coming back. And this time, because we do have the whole Bible in our hands, we know that when Christ returns, he is going to make all things right. And that's a beautiful thing for us to look forward to. So this Advent, may we not just look back, but may we spend more time looking forward. Because the conditions that we're in our world are really amazingly absurd in so many ways. I mean, some of you have lived a long time, and some of you have lived even to a point where you can look back at World War II and look back at different events that have happened in the United States, and you know that there have been hard times in our country and in our world, but in so many ways, things seem to be extremely out of whack right now. And so we need hope. We need something to look forward to. I mean, I was reflecting over this and thinking just in events that have happened this year that have been very significant. I look at abortion, and I'm thankful that there have been certain decisions made in our country in the last year, but with that has come an extreme vigor on the part of some towards the killing of babies like we've never seen before. You look at AI and you look at the potential for AI, some good, some potentially very bad. Climate change, so much being talked about it. People are being dealt a message of hopelessness because of a message that goes out about climate change. You want to read about climate change? Read the book of Revelation. Because God's got a proposal for climate change that's going to end this world, and it's going to culminate finally with a new heaven and a new earth, praise God. We look at crime going on in the world, in the United States in particular, where people are allowed to go into stores and sell and just steal at will. Praise the Lord we live in Pella. Praise the Lord that there's still law and order here, but crime is out of control. Our economy, it's in such a bad way. Even this week, they do these weird trivia things from Home Alone, what cost $19 and I think 83 cents when the movie was made, when little Macaulay Culkin went into the grocery store to buy things, now costs over $70. And yet there are those who will get on the TV every night and say, it's great. Education is in a place in our country like it's never been before. Our kids have lost so much. The wars that are going on, the wars in Ukraine, the wars in Israel, and what's happening there, folks, is just absurd in Israel right now with the way that even in our country there's been such a great deal of anti-Semitism. Lord have mercy. We've got gender issues going on and things that are being taught to children that boggle our minds. That boggle our minds that we couldn't have imagined would even being taught 10 to 15 years ago. We've got immigration. We've got people coming in illegally to our country at an alarming rate. And we've got people coming into our country that aren't coming in for good. And what's amazing, we live in a world right now where there will be pundits that will be saying, the border is under control, as thousands are seen on video coming through. What is going on? And there's so many issues, and we don't often like to talk about them because sometimes people get offended by this or that. Well, the Bible speaks to this. These issues can bring up anger in people. They can also bring up a place of despair. Some people, some Christians will feel like, oh, it appears that evil is triumphing out there. That somehow Christianity and the influence of Christ is losing. It seems like the darkness is getting thicker. And I think we could probably say that. And what do we hear in the message of Advent? That Christ comes to bring light to the people who are walking in darkness. So there's a song that we sing every Christmas, O come, Emmanuel. I love the song. It's one of the oldest Christmas songs that we sing. And in every verse, there's a different name for Christ. And so today, I just want to bring a little emphasis to the word dayspring. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. And I want to bring you to a passage of Scripture in the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then a little later I'm going to read from the book of Luke. But here's what the prophet Malachi says. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Did you hear the words, Son of Righteousness? That's day spring. There will be a day coming, according to the prophet Malachi, where God is going to deal with the people who are arrogant, who have wronged him, and who have remained in their sinful ways. He uses an image that I think we all can understand, and that's the image of fire. A matter of fact, Malachi, in this short prophecy, he uses some images of fire in a couple of different ways. And if we just back up a chapter, I'm going to read a couple of verses from Malachi 3. Because there's two types of fire that he talks about here. One would be a fire that is more of sanctification, and then one is a fire of destruction. And we know that today with fire. Fire can be used for good, and fire can also destroy very quickly and in massive ways. Listen to what he says in Malachi 3, 2 and 3. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. When I think of this fire that Malachi is describing, I'm thinking of this fire for the believer. It's a fire of refinement. It's a fire of purification. And he uses also this idea of a launderer's bleacher. In some translations, it talks about soap. It's not designed at all to destroy, but to refine or purify. Can you think of times in your life when you felt that fire upon you? When you knew the Lord was refining you? It didn't always feel good, but God meant it for good. You know, when I think of why Jesus was sent into this world, he was not sent into this world to save us in our sins, but he was sent into this world to save us from our sins. And the only way we're going to be saved from our sins is because of the refinement and purification that has happened at our salvation and will continue to happen all throughout our lives until we go to be with him. The fact that this kind of refinement is going on in our lives saves us from the fire that Malachi talks about in chapter 4. See, this is the burning fire of judgment that happens in chapter 4. This fire is for the ungodly. Look at the words that he uses here. He says that people will be stubble. Well, what is stubble? Well, stubble is the unusable part of grain. And that unusable part of grain that when it's thrown into the fire, it burns very quickly. And Malachi makes the point that it's very complete. There won't be root or branch left. We know this, folks, when we pull out weeds, if we don't pull out the root, it grows back. We know that even when we cut down a tree, if there's still roots in the ground, we'll see little shoots come up. But Malachi is very clear here. It'll all be gone. The wicked will all be gone. The root, the branch, everything will be gone. And you know, this always causes me to take pause here because this is a point where some people think, how cruel is God? How mean is God? How can he do this? Isn't God loving? Why would he judge in this way? Well, dear people, God is all loving. Absolutely. A matter of fact, even in this moment, when you think of all the atrocities that are going on in the world right now, God has every reason right now to destroy the world. Is he? No. It's grace. A matter of fact, every day that we're given until the Lord comes back, I think it's more grace, more people are coming to know the Lord. He is so compassionate. He is extending so much mercy. There are people who are shaking their fists at the Lord right now. and treating him in just terrible ways. And the Lord still extends the gospel to others. God is greatly compassionate, but there will come a day, and he's warned us, that that day will come when judgment will be here. And that's why we go out with the message of Jesus Christ, so that people can be saved from that judgment. Let us not lose the essence of that message, that people would be saved from the judgment of the Lord. Well, the cure is through the day spring, Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of hope, and he provides this hope. Look at verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out, this is a different translation than what I read before, leaping like calves from the stall. I love this. I mean, this is beautiful. I'm not a farmer. I grew up in the city. I didn't find out where milk came from until I was about 13. But what a beautiful prophecy. But before I unpack this, just know this, that there are many places in the scriptures that refer to this dayspring or the Son of Righteousness or the Son in some way. Numbers 24:17 says this, I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel. This all points to Jesus. That's way back in Numbers. Look at Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Once again, the Lord described as the sun. And then this beautiful picture from Revelation 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. Jesus himself is declaring him as that bright morning star. Jesus is coming again. And so what do we learn from this in Malachi? We get a few pictures. First of all, Jesus is the rising sun. What does the sun do? Well, the sun brings light. It's so dark about right before the sun rises, and the sun rises and it brings light into the darkness. As Christians during this season, remember Jesus said, we're the light of the world. Go out, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Be lights out in this world. Now, only Jesus can bring sense, a balance, the peace, love, hope, and joy to this world that's filled with such absurdity, and he sends us out to be his agents in that. If Jesus is light in the darkness, what happens? What often happens in the darkness? Well, here's what happens in the darkness. There's oftentimes insecurity in the darkness. And there's a lot of insecurity going on in the world out there. I mean, just think of it from a simple standpoint. When it's dark in your house at night, do you always know where you're walking? I love the night lights in my house. See, we used to have kids, and then sometimes when you'd walk at night, you'd step on a Lego or something like that. That's not good. So we learned the lesson, so now our kids are all gone. We just have pets. And so now I have night lights because I'm liable to step on some cat or dog toy in the middle of the night. So I appreciate that because there's insecurity at night because of the darkness. But the Lord, he brings light. He brings light, and because he brings light, he always points us the way to go. You know, when the sun rises in the morning, you can see and you know exactly where to go. It's beautiful. When Jesus comes into the world, he comes in as the sun. He is light in the darkness. He provides light in the midst of confusion. He gives a fixed point through his word as to how we should make decisions, which direction we should go. This is it. This is the direction. This is the light that we have through Jesus. He provides security for us. Well, another picture that we get is there are beams of righteousness. I like this. Now, I grew up in Sunday school sitting on my little benches. Some of you can remember, you remember the old song, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. Yeah, that was a good song. We sang that too. Love that. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. You know, Jesus makes things right. His beams of righteousness, this sunbeam of righteousness, he does it through reconciliation. So he comes to the world so that we can be reconciled to God. We look at this vertical point of the cross where we can be reconciled through Jesus to our Father in heaven. And that reconciliation not only goes vertically, but it also goes horizontally so that we can have reconciliation with others, so that there can be peace amongst people. And it only happens through Jesus. It's beautiful. And there are so many people in the world right now that are suffering under injustice. Only Christ can fix it. It won't be because Washington fixes it, they don't have a good record. It won't be because the United Nations fixes it because they don't have a good record. It only comes through Christ. And there are going to be people who continue throughout all history to oppress other people. That will continue to happen. And it can only be made right because Christ returns and they will be judged accordingly. So we look at his beams of righteousness that are going into the world through the church. And we need to be his agents of reconciliation. So we get that picture. And there's also a picture of wings of healing. There is healing in the sun. I mean, it's healthy for us to have the sun and what comes from the sun for our bodies. Who wants to live in darkness all the time? I think when we lived in California, we had for years a desert tortoise. Our desert tortoise's name was Zeus. About this big, big old elephant feed on it. But every November, Zeus needed to be put to bed. And so I had this little wooden house that I made for him right under our patio cover. And I'd put Zeus in there for the winter with a bunch of leaves and paper and stuff. And I'd just put him in there and he'd stay in there. November, December, January, February, March. Zeus hibernated. And then near the end of March, I'd see his little head come out. It wasn't a little head, kind of a big head. He was ready to come out. So my wife had a little ritual with Zeus. The sun would be shining in the day. She'd take a big old cookie sheet with some edges on it, put water in it, get it nice and warm, and put Zeus right there. And because of the sun, Zeus would just come to life. There would be healing for Zeus, and Zeus would now come out for the next few months and enjoy the summer months. There is healing in the sun. If you've ever seen the sun rise in the morning, of which I'm sure you have, it's gorgeous. And every morning when it comes up, it does bring what the earth needs. Everybody needs the light of the sun. You know, when it comes to the healing that is promised, does everybody in this earth get healed from the afflictions that they're dealing with? No, everybody doesn't. People are still dying of cancer. People are often dying earlier than they're supposed to, that we think. But here's what we need to know. The healing that goes on that is most significant is because Jesus has come, there's hope beyond the grave. And that's the healing that we claim to and we cling to and we celebrate. You know, we move to this picture of these calves that are breaking out of a stall. What a great picture. I've watched videos of this because I you know, until I came to Iowa, I didn't know much about farming at all. But when I saw the pictures of the calves that are jumping out when they step out for the first time, it's really amazing. And make no mistake, there's no coincidence that Malachi is using this picture here. What does this mean for us? This whole picture of these calves and an Advent. Well, first, I'm going to give you a point that you can take this to the bank. The first point is this: get fat. This Advent, get fat, and you say, oh, that sounds very good. That's so easy for us. See, what are calves doing in the barn? Well, calves in the barn, they're with mama, and they're getting fat. And there comes a time when the calves need to get out of the barn. Okay, they need to get out of the barn. They need to get out there in kind of the real world for calves as they are. And so they break from their captivity, and they get out of the barn. See, Malachi had just said a little bit ago, there's going to come a time when the arrogant, all that meanness out there, all that oppression out there, it's going to be taken care of. Okay, it's done. And so now, calves, you can go out there and you could do your little dance out there. And you're actually going to dance on them. That's what the verses say right after this. Because the Lord is victorious. And so go out there and dance like calves. So what's the message for us today? Well, get out of the barn. Get out of the barn, folks. And for some of you who may be in the barn, you may be in the barn because you've been in some sort of a bondage and you think you can't go out because you haven't claimed the victory that you have in Christ. And Christ has said, you have been set free. Get out of the barn and dance like calves. Some of you stay in the barn because you just want to be safe. I don't really want to go out there and share my faith. I like to sit in. Let me hear another sermon. Let me go home from here and hear another sermon. Let me go to 6 more Bible studies this week. I like to stay in the barn. Get fat, get fat. No, get fat and get out. Get out there. Get out of the barn and dance. And here's what we have to claim. We claim victory in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. And so, yes, in the midst of all that's going on out there, we have victory to claim, and so we can dance like calves. Get out of the barn. God has triumphed. So get fat, get out there, and folks, Christ is returning. Get ready, because he's coming back, and we need to get the good news out there. So let me conclude with just a little story that you're all familiar with. Zechariah, New Testament. Zechariah, he's a priest. He goes for his time of year to go into the temple and to do his duties. By lot, he was selected to go into not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place. And while he's in there, the angel appears to him and says, your prayer is being answered. Because he and his wife Elizabeth had not had a baby. And they were getting up in years. And it didn't seem like that was going to happen. But the angel said, your prayer is going to be answered. And you know the story. Ultimately, Zechariah asked some questions about that. And the angel didn't like that. So he was rendered speechless for probably well over 9 months until this baby was born. And that baby was John the Baptist. And then when we go to Luke chapter 1, it's a long chapter. 78 and 79, here's what it says. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Here we've got it again. We've got the day spring, the dawn from on high will visit us. What hope we have in Jesus. And so here, sometimes this is described as Zechariah's prophecy. Sometimes it's described as Zechariah's song. I like to think of it as a song. See, I think singing is in the DNA of every Christian, and that we're designed to sing. And see, I think Zechariah, after he was speechless for so many months, and this has all come to pass, and now he's getting this prophecy out there that this Jesus is going to come. His son is honored to announce the coming of Jesus. What a beautiful thing. So a song of praise and adoration comes out to the Most High. Matter of fact, I think Zechariah probably spent the remainder of his life doing a lot of singing because of all this that has happened to him. You know, I visit people over at the Comfort House. And when people are in hospice, this is what I often find. I'll go in there, and the drapes are all closed. It's dark. It feels like death. And you say, well, Pastor, that's what hospice is. No, no. I'll go in, and I always ask, can I open up the curtains? Nobody's ever said no. I open up the curtains. Guess what comes in? The sun. Yes. And it always is welcome. And then the next thing we do is we sing. Well, what do we sing? We sing the big ones first. How great thou art. The doxology, amazing grace. Then we might go into the quieter ones. That brings such encouragement. We are born to sing and to have a song. And so, why do we do this? Because salvation is about light. And light brings healing. And this healing brings a song to our heart that must come out from our lips. So folks, you're designed to sing. You say, I can't sing good. I didn't say you had to sing good, but you're designed to sing. And I want to keep singing until the Lord takes me out so that I'm ready to just join in with whoever's singing in heaven and so that I'll fit right into that choir. How about you? Let's go out and frolic like calves this week and bring the good message of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of such upside downness in this world, that you've given us the truth in your word that we can bring boldly and joyfully to other people. Truly, Lord, this is the healing word. This is the healing message. These are the beams of sunlight that this world needs. So may we be the communicators of that in our areas of influence in this week. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.